Ezekiel 33 and Isaiah 29. Okay, Isaac going to preach on love this morning. So we all is going to love everybody. Amen. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. What a place. Probably feel pretty safe this morning. We got 10 certified bounty hunters sitting in here right now. The teacher of the class said, "This is the first time I've ever done this in a church." Yeah. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love." They just loves everybody. They show love, "but with their heart, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." There's their heart. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song." So that'd be the musical program. Most churches this morning, they'd be having music and for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and preaching. Rapping, talking, communicating. Their jaws, you know, going up and down for about 20 minutes. And that's about it. "And thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." That's the end of every nation. Okay, this happens to be Israel, and the prophet is Ezekiel. Okay, Isaiah 29. These are both the end of Israel, but yet, because every nation follows the same rut that Israel did, and a rut is nothing but a grave with the ends knocked out, and when they get destroyed. Isaiah 29, verse 10. "Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I ain't got much learning. I ain't not learned, or I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They use their intellect and education to try to teach the scriptures instead of letting the Bible do the work. Then he says, Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous thing, or marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to, when we sing a song, "Oh, how I love Jesus," I pray that our heart is convicted, and to check our hearts out whenever we sing that song to see if we mean it, and if our lives are backing it up. To say the words, "I love you," Lord, I pray that those words are said from an honest heart. And I pray you that when we say that we have love towards our God, that you in heaven would say, yeah, I can tell by your life. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand what real love is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Ezekiel 33, they talk much of love. Hollywood talks about love all the time. Hollywood's love is spelled L-U-S-T. It's lust. It's nothing but lust. That's Hollywood's love. Their love is getting something for themselves. It's like a boy may say to a girl, I love you, and he is just saying that because he wants to get something to satisfy his own fleshly thrills. The charismatic's love is a selfless show of mush. Anybody that analyzes it, looks at it, it's just got to kind of, if they're honest, they'd have to say, what a circus. What a circus. The Christian love in the Bible is a selfless and unconditional love. And God's love toward man is revealed by giving us a free will. Now, that seems kind of strange. But that's how God can demonstrate his love, is through our free will. How can that be? Well, you can't, when somebody says to me, I love God, or if you go out in the street and ask people a question, and you say, become your own pollster. Most of these polls are just nothing but a bunch of hoax anyway. But if you get out in the street and you ask, let's say, 10 people, do you love God? I would dare say most of them would say, yeah. They would say that. If you go to the churches, the Christians no doubt would say, yeah, I love God. But their life shows that they love money. And they love themselves. True love is a selfless, unconditional love. And people's love is expressed by time. What do they spend time doing? A man that spends throughout a week, and I'm not saying it's wrong to read a newspaper, but a man who reads a daily newspaper 30 minutes a day, so he spends every week 30 times 70, I don't know, a lot during the week. And if he reads his Bible 15 minutes a day, he may tell me he loves his Bible, he loves God, but it don't register with my mind. What you spend your time with is what you love. Now, how do you express that? Okay, when you were during the courting time, or you know, you had the emotion of love overtaken you, you don't sit there looking at your watch and saying, okay, we have 2 hours with each other. Time is of no essence when it's true love. And see, love, God's love towards man is revealed in a very unique way. And our expression of love to him is revealed through our free will. Now, if somebody tells me they love God, I don't look at them and say, well, you're a liar. I say, okay, that's... Yeah, I don't turn my back on them. Because I believe that if somebody tells me, or if they have to express it a lot, where they say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I do believe that they are trying to convince one of two people, themselves or somebody else, because their life doesn't match it. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3 says, if a man loves God, it's the same as known of him. I don't go around telling people, I love my wife. You know, I love my wife. Yes, I love my wife. I tell her that at least once a year. No, I tell her that. But my life should show that I love her. But yet, you want to express it to that person. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. I love your word. I love you, God. Tell him those things. But to express it to somebody else, your life should back it up. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he gave Adam a free will. And that free will had no strings attached. That free will could exercise itself in complete rejection against God. When that free will exercised that complete rejection against God, now God can demonstrate His love. If He did not give us a free will, He could not demonstrate His love to us. He could not it could not be manifested. Because love is unconditional and it is selfless. She's back over there if that's where you're looking. Just trying to make sure everybody stays where they're supposed to stay. Okay, true love is something that is manifested as something that's unlovable. If God did not give man a free will, hence all of us accepted God's plan as the animals do. The animals obey God because they don't have a choice to disobey God. They don't have a free will, in essence, as God put in us. So the animals obey God, but how does He express His love to His animals? Well, there's really no expression. See, but as far as man goes, God expresses a love to us in that we are unlovable, but He still died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love is giving. It's giving with no strings attached at all. How does God express His love towards man? Well, the first way is He expresses it by giving us a free will to choose between Satan and Him, the Savior. That's a free will. That's a choice. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Now, here's the real subtle thing about this saying. God gave us a free will to choose between Satan and the Savior. And most people, when you say those two terms, they think two opposite of extremes, which they are, but yet they also they think that those two opposite extremes appear complete opposites. But what do you do when they appear the same? That's the thing that's tough about it. You see, the reason why Satan is a perfect, if you call it perfect, imitator of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4 mentions there's another spirit, there's another Jesus, and there's another gospel. And they're hard to tell apart at times. Very difficult to tell apart. Why would God do that? He does that to prove our sincerity, if we're willing to search it out. Well, you say, how do you prove that? You've got to spend time with it and study, looking back and forth. You see, love is exposed with time. You could tell it with time. That's the only way you could actually read into something is with time. And I'm not saying how long a time. Well, it varies. Judas Iscariot fooled them for 3.5 years, and they lived amongst them. Now, if he could fool them for 3.5 years when they lived with him, if you live with somebody, you're going to find out usually within a week the spirit or the heart of that person. I mean, that's even if they're good, but you're going to find out real quick because eventually their own heart will come out. So God put in man a free will, and that free will can choose between Satan and the Savior. But yet Satan and the Savior are so close as far as the way they work, at times they're very difficult to work to tell them apart. You see, when you say Satan to people, they think of horns. They think of he's going to come with fangs. I talked to this guy in Colorado Springs. We were street preaching in Acacia Park. He was a Jewish fella. And this guy was a bald-faced liar. And I enjoyed my chat with him. But he told me he loved the Bible and all that stuff. And so I said, oh, that's good. And I said, you read the whole thing? He said, yeah, I just love the Bible. So I asked him if he read the book of Isaiah. Yeah, I've read that, loved that. And I asked him if he read the book of Hezekiah. Yes, I liked Hezekiah. So I went the whole route. I said, how about the book of Jerusalem? Isn't that a good one? Oh, that's one of my favorite. So I knew the guy was a bald-faced liar. And so he told me in his experiences lately, he was on the bus and the devil got on the bus. I said, oh, he did. What did he look like? Oh, he said he was slightly balding. Maybe he's in here. Said he had filth under his fingers. And he blasphemed under his breath. Oh, cut it out, fella. If Satan appeared to any of us in the flesh, we would think he's, ladies, you would think he's the most handsome, kind man you'd ever met. Just like your husband. Oh, did I say that? And if he appeared in a physical state to a man, he would appear as a man, a good moral man. He doesn't appear as a snake. Now, I know in Genesis 3 where it says the serpent said unto Eve, but I do believe he appeared to her as an angel of light, because that's how he appears, as a man. Hence, she said in Genesis 4, I got me a man from the Lord. And the Bible gets talking about being beguiled. And boy, you get scratching your head about some of this stuff. You see, if Satan appeared to you and I in his natural state, we would all pass out. Job 41. So what does he do? He counterfeits Jesus Christ as close as possible. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that Satan would do that. Why? Because people are going to choose Satan. Why is God doing that? So he could manifest his love to us, but yet at the same time, he could check us out in our sincerity. It's a great plan. Very unique how the Lord set that up. And you see, what Satan does, all he does is he doesn't go around trying to get people to worship him directly. He tries to get them first to worship themselves. Live for themselves. And eventually the thing will gravitate towards living for Satan. So how does the Lord manifest his love? The love of God is found in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. People have not a clue what the love of God is. The average person, and if you get talking to them, they think that you can live any way you want to live and you're going to go to heaven. Oh, God loves everyone. Are you sure about that? You better check that Bible out. David said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. God said in Psalm 5:5, I hate the workers of iniquity. There's people he hates. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I wouldn't do that. And I don't think anybody in here would. Would you allow your children to die for somebody you think's wicked? Not me. I'd shoot the wicked guy. But God's love is much deeper than ours. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. And of course, there are few instances of that throughout history, but not too many. Not too many. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for his enemies, his sinners, the sinners. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's love is manifested at Calvary in that he died for sinners. Okay, his love is manifested at Calvary. Now, if somebody wants to get in God's love, they have to come to Calvary. He or she's got to come to Calvary, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's when you get in God's love. You say, where are you at before that? In God's wrath. and you stay in God's wrath until you get saved, then you get in God's love. People say, well, God ain't going to send anybody to hell. Well, he's going to tell them to go to hell. The most terrible words ever said will be said, depart from me, cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because they rejected his holy son. Now, how would you feel if your child died in a, let's say, a war casualty, and then in this war, people protested back here saying every soldier died was a big waste and blah, blah, blah. How would you feel about those people? You'd like to get out your gun and show them what a waste they are. And that's why God would tell them to go to hell. They rejected his holy son. Even though his son died for him. You see, the free will of man can choose between Satan and the Savior, but that is God's way of manifesting his love. Another thing, the free will of God is, the free will of man to choose between stubbornness and sanctification after we get saved and get in the love of God. Because this salvation has no strings attached to it, because we have eternal security being born again, a person could live a wicked life after that. It's a shame if they do, and they're going to be sorry they did. But God's love is manifested in that he will interfere with us of trying to live the way we want to live. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 talks about God chastening his children. Now, the way a parent expresses their love for their children, obviously one way is tell them, express it. Hugs, kisses, express it often, saying, I love you. That should be regular words coming out of your mouth to your children and back and forth. And, affection, ways to express your affection to them. Okay, but then also the way you express your love to them is get a paddle out and whoop them. They need a spanking. Interfere with their selfish will and train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some parents say, well, I love my children so much, I don't want to spank them. No, that's the way you express your hatred. You're raising a tyrant is what you're raising. You're going to raise a bully. And if they try to bully the wrong person in an inner city, they just might get shot. And so the thing is, we need to train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Lord does the same to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. I'm going to have it my way, but when the Lord interferes with my way, interferes with my plans, that's his demonstration of his love. All God has to do for me to get messed up is leave me alone. That's all he's got to do. Just let me go. Sometimes people say, just leave me alone. You know, they get in a room and pout. A parent that loves them says, I'll leave you alone. But first you need to come in this room, and I'm going to wail on you for a while, and then give you some hugs afterwards, and then you go to your room and be alone. I'm going to interfere with this process at first. And they're training their children. What God say, Hosea 4, verse 17, about Ephraim? He said, Ephraim hath joined himself to idols, leave him alone. What happened to Ephraim? 65 years later, Ephraim was basically wiped off the map. As a people, they were no longer. He said that the same time Isaiah said, Isaiah 7 verse 8, it's the same time period. Isaiah said, in 65 years, Ephraim shall not be a people. Hosea said it, same time period Isaiah said it. 100 years later, Jeremiah said something about Ephraim. Jeremiah 7:15, he said, Ephraim is no more. They're not anymore. Why? God left them alone. Why did he leave them alone? Just let them go. He is fed up with them. Didn't express his love to them. And they're goners. That's all God has to do to us. And now we got a bunch of funny people in Salt Lake City who think they came from Ephraim. Something's wrong on top. They're not even reading their Bible. And I asked a couple of these guys, I asked them whether they came from Ephraim. I laughed at them. I said, you're blonde hair, blue eye, you tell me you're Jew? Ha ha! They don't even know what they're talking about. And you know what the Lord would do? If he wants to express his love to any one of those, he'll interfere with their life and try to wake them up and show the fraud and the lies that they're a part of. And of course, they will interpret that as, you don't have love. But my love to them is expressing to them, is trying to wake them up in any way I can wake them up. Some people, the only way you can wake them up is slap them. Depends how they were trained. And so God's love towards us is manifested by his chastisement, by his punishment. Thank God for his paddles in heaven. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. When you tell somebody to repent, they look at you and they say, oh, that's not speaking the truth in love. Okay, let me try. Repent. That's what they expect. You get some of these guys and they act like they're talking to little kids. When you talk straight and plain, they don't think that's love. No, that's love. It's trying to get them to wake up, come to the Savior. Preaching is rebuking. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Okay, the way you preach the Bible and preach it honestly is your way to express your love towards people. You care for them. I care for them so much that I'm willing to put our friendship at odds because you need to hear the truth. I'd rather an open rebuke is better than secret love. Proverbs 27. And the way a preacher demonstrates his love for God is found in John chapter 21 when Jesus got Peter to confess three times. He said to Peter, he said, Pete, you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. And the first thing he said, okay, then feed my lambs. He said, hey, Pete, you love me? He said, yeah, you know I love you. He said, okay, then feed my sheep. Third time around, he said, hey, Pete, do you love me? And old Peter, by that time, his foot's been digging a hole in the ground, been kind of going like this, and the boy, it's been really digging in, and the Lord's kind of been pushing. Yeah, you know I love you. He said, okay, then feed my sheep. So how does a preacher demonstrate his love for people? Feed him the Word of God. And that's how he demonstrates his love for God. Feed him the Word of God. God's love for man is manifested in that he loves something unlovable because a person can choose Satan, and if he does choose a Savior, he can choose his own stubbornness, but God will still manifest his love by interfering with our life. God is not our bellboy. A lot of people ask you to pray for them. They think, how do I pray? I've had guys in jail ask me, how do I pray the right words? And what they're doing is they're asking for a secret formula. Okay, you hold your hands just like, now take your fingers out a little bit further this way, tilt about this way, and then if you look up like this with a very sincere look in your face and you say, oh God. You got to have your eyebrows down a little bit down like this, like you're in great anxiety. Oh God. And God in heaven say, oh, puke. No, that's not. God is not our bellboy. We are to be his bellboy. So God manifests his love in that way. Now, how do we demonstrate our love for God? Well, it's very simple. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. The Lord is talking to the guys who are supposed to be the teachers of the Bible, the Pharisees. These are the scribes. These are the ones who are supposed to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. And John 5:39, he said to these guys, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Oh, at that point they're probably saying, "How dare he say such a thing? I love God." You know, oh, they're just really, you can see the circuits are just going. And the Lord says, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor of one another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" These guys professing to love God, the Lord said, "You don't have the love of God in you." Why? You don't believe my book. You don't believe it. And then he put it down in a one-liner in John 15, verse 14, or 14, verse 15, where he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How do we express our love towards God? Love this book. Love this book. Spend time in this book. Your love for God is equal to your love for this book. Do you leave it set around the house? John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." He'll keep my words. "And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." It's that simple. It's if a man loves God, he loves this book. These guys that attack this book, they don't love it. And if you write these Christian colleges, they'll all have it in their little brochures. They'll say something about the King James Bible. They say, "Well, we don't attack the King James Bible because of the beauty of its poetry." The guys hate that book with a passion. If you doubt it, start asking them questions. And they hate that book because they hate the authority of that book. And they hate the idea, just like the Pharisees killed Jesus Christ, these same guys, if they lived in the Pharisees' days, they would want to kill Jesus Christ. They hate this book. They don't love God. The way we express our love toward God Almighty is spending time in this book. Get you a good Bible that you can write in, and that is your book. And if you ever leave that thing around, you will panic. "Where did I leave my Bible? Where? I got to get that book. I got to find that book. I got to stay in that book." That's how we express our love towards God. What a man does with this book is exactly what God does with him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. This is very, very clear. 1 John 2, verse 5. "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Spending time in the Word of God. That's how we manifest our love toward God. Now, how do we manifest our love toward others? Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Our love towards others is not a mushy type thing, even though, you know, depending on how people grew up, some folks express their love, you know, as far as hugs and things like that, which is fine. But our love towards others is doing what we can to serve them for their good. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Our expression towards other folks, as far as believers in Christ, to love our brother, I'm not saying you have to be palsy-palsies, but to love the brethren is to do what you can to help bring them closer to God. Now, if they're out of fellowship, your love for them can easily be expressed by just, you can put a hand on their shoulder and just say, you know you're wrong. You know the Bible is right. Why don't you just get right? Or if the Spirit says, you need to get right with God, you know you're living like a stinking heathen, depending on how the Spirit of God would lead you. Pray for the right words at the right time to the right person, with the right spirit. Our love for others is doing what we can to be a blessing to them, to serve them. That's how our love is expressed, even to the point where we give up our preferences, our desires. Now, I realize that when a person tries to live like this, people say, well, I'm being used. Didn't we use Jesus Christ? And at a point, you'll get frustrated, just like I do at times, and you get sick of it at times. But then just realize that we understand a little bit how the Lord Jesus Christ feels. Can you imagine? The Spirit of God's in our body. He's with us at all times. He's ready and willing. He's lusting to envy. He wants us to talk to Him at all times. And He just sits there and waits for us to talk to Him. How many of us would sit in our house and just wait for everybody to talk to us? Hello? No, we'd start saying something. The Spirit of God just sits there and waits for us to talk to Him. And then He's willing to talk to us and get us right. The way our love for God is expressed is by spending time in a book and trying to serve His people the best we can. Serve them in a way that helps them eternally, not just physically. It helps them spiritually. That's love in the Bible. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray You'd help us not only express our love towards others, notes of appreciation, notes of gratitude, and Lord, when folks get out of fellowship with God, I pray You'd express our love instead of gossiping about them. I pray You'd help us to pray for them, cry for them, rebuke them if need be, reprove them, help them to get right. When they get right, accept them, love them, help encourage them. Do what's best for them. And Lord, I pray as parents that we love our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, train them. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to love You. The first and great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Lord, it's so easy to get sidetracked by things down here. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us spend time in the blessed word of God so we can express our love towards Thee. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. The instruments plays. The altar's open if you need it. A man said one time, if your love for the Bible at one time was greater than it is now, if your love for the Savior was greater than it is now, and your desire was greater than it is now, your desire for heaven was greater than it is now, then you've backslid. Every day, and that's tough, every day we need to fall in love with God more and more and love His appearing. Many, many Christians want the rapture, but they're too busy. They want and love their disappearing from the mess down here. No, the crown is given to the ones who love His appearing. It's not that they love their disappearing. They love His appearing. That's the crown of righteousness. Lord Jesus, I do pray you'd help us to express our love towards others by being a blessing to them, serving them, expressing our gratitude, being a friend, being a brother. Help them out when they're down. Encouraging them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to rebuke when we need to rebuke. I pray you'd help us exhort when we need to exhort. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us love you by spending time in your word, honoring you, and honoring our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.